Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Here we go with the Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and I'm a little worried that Dan might think it's Friday because he's not here yet. Anyways, if you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. Hey, if not, go ahead, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so if you haven't made it over there to check out the Wednesday blog, feel free to get yourself on over there and see what's going on. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at, well, he's at Dan Z Man, and there's three E's in that. So make sure you get that correct as you're rolling along. I do want to warn anybody, apparently today is just one of those days I'm having my wonderful spotty internet coverage, and the site has already told me a message saying that there's an issue with Skype and the Direct Connect feature, so I don't know actually how well this is going to go or what things are going to do, but we'll give it a shot and see how long it lets us hang around. Other than that, I can't make you any promises, but Let's jump into the NBA, and I don't want to get caught up in all that, you know, all the political stuff that's going on with China and all those things. I wanted to talk about something a little more relative to the game, you know, and that's just the fact that, you know, Zion Williamson played last night. He actually played the Chicago Bulls, the local team here. And he scored 29 points, which I believe I heard somebody say is the highest point total out of a number one draft pick since Derrick Rose. You know, Derrick Rose scored 30 in a game. Now, the interesting thing is Williamson was 12 of 13 from the field. But I've actually heard people complain about his game. Now, again, we're talking about somebody who just went 12 of 13 from the field and scored 29 points. Why are they complaining about his game, you say? Well, none of those 13 shots were three-pointers. He took all his he scored all his points from right around in the paint area. You know, the majority of the 12 shots he made were dunks, and apparently that wasn't good enough for anybody. He's got to be out there hoisting up three-pointers. So, yeah, I thought this was incredibly stupid. Just kind of how they see these things. And, you know, it's goofy to me. So, yeah, you know, that can get kind of baffling. So, I don't get it. You know, maybe somebody out there can explain it to me. Again, 646-478-3753. You know, the guy played a fantastic game, and, you know, it's just kind of how it goes. So, I guess he's going to stink because he doesn't shoot three-pointers, you know, and, see how it goes. Sorry, I'm going to try to type and, you know, do this at the same time. You know, just one of those things, how it goes with me here. So we're working along. Is Dan in here yet? Maybe if Dan is here, he could help me out. No, of course not. So, but yeah, so that, again, like I said, that was just in, you know, really, really confusing for me on the, you know, the fact that it's like, you know, again, we're talking about a guy who went 12 of 13. That, you know, doesn't happen too regularly in NBA games, especially now where, you know, I don't know if you saw it yesterday, but Steph Curry wanted to be the first guy to score or take the first shot in the new Golden State Warriors arena. I don't know what this one's called. I don't think it's Oracle anymore. But he basically launched about a half quarter that missed, you know, that airball. But yet everybody thought this was kind of the greatest thing in the world because it's Steph Curry taking a half court shot. And I just kind of like, okay, well, you know what I mean? Oh, it's preseason. I don't care if he wants to launch half quarters or three quarter quarters or whatever else he's got going on. I'm fine and dandy with all that stuff. And I like Steph Curry. I think he's a fantastic player. But yeah, I mean, just the oddity of the fact that, you know, Zion is getting some grief because he didn't shoot any threes. You know, I mean, we're talking about a guy who's a power forward. So, you know, he's going to be playing in there. You know, if he can dominate in the paint like that, that's going to be really important for a young team that is looking like it has a decent shot at being a playoff team, even in the really tough Western Conference. They, you know, they may be able to put something together and end up being a playoff team. And again, I mean, I don't know, you know, do you want this guy out there jacking up 10 three-pointers a game and going 2 of 10 or 3 of 10 or, you know, whatever he would go? I would like to think that you would want him to fit his game to his skill set. And, you know, what he does well. And, you know, I mean, it's not like he's giving anything away. You know, I mean, he's doing what we all kind of expected him to do. So, you know, it's just kind of like, oh, okay, what's the problem here? But, yeah, apparently, you know, if you don't hoist up those three-pointers, you're a bad guy, and they don't want anything to do with you. So it'll be interesting to see how this continues to play out, you know, because, I mean, I don't have it in front of me, but 12 of 13 has to be a pretty decent shooting percentage, right? I mean, what does that equal out to? Anybody know off the top of your head? I used to be good at math, not anymore. Here we go. That's about 92.3%. So I don't think that would be too bad of a deal if he shot that for the season, huh? You know, would people complain a lot about that? Just kind of baffling that I've actually heard people borderline upset that he didn't shoot any three-pointers. Sadly, this just kind of tab, you know, adds on and on more to the fact on, you know, why the NBA game drives me crazy now and I just don't want to watch it. You know, again, he didn't shoot any three-pointers. Well, he dunked. That's the other half of, you know, that's the other half of the NBA game. So it shouldn't be, they should be happy with that, right? I mean, they got to see a lot of nice big power dunks. And, you know, maybe if he had a breakaway or something, they could, you know, they could have been a little more excited about it, and, you know, he could have, you know, satisfied their desire for whatever the hell else they needed to see from him. But, yeah, you know, to me, again, this was just completely ridiculous. And I was just kind of like, you're kidding me here, right? I mean, at first I just kind of thought the story might be some kind of joke, you know, and it was just some people kind of goofing around, you know, throwing it out there that, well, you know, he didn't shoot any threes. What are we going to do? But yeah, you know, the more I kind of delved into it and I heard more people talking about it, apparently this is a legitimate beef that some people have. So I don't know really how to react to it, except maybe describe them as incredibly stupid. You know, because if he averages 29 points a game, I think the Pelicans are going to be very happy with him. So I don't think that's going to be a really big issue, except for the idiots like this, who think that, you know, you've got to shoot the threes. And, you know, yeah, again, I kind of get at a loss for words for this. And, I mean, I don't want to, you know, go ape crazy on these people. But, man, you know, if you're one of those people who just couldn't get over the fact that he didn't shoot a three, maybe start watching another game. You know, maybe go to the college game, or, you know, maybe start watching another team to where, you know, you don't have to, you know, deal with it. You know, go watch, I don't know who Boban's playing for this year, but, you know, I know he hit a three the other day. Maybe go find that team and, watch him and see what you can get from that, and, you know, leave Zion and the Pelicans alone for a few years in case he doesn't shoot enough threes for you right away. So, yeah, I don't know. It just makes me kind of, you know, makes me kind of goofy when we get to these things, and it's like, oh, yeah, you know, this is what happened, or that's what happened. I was like, okay, great, thank you. All right, so I have a free entry into a FanDuel hockey, so I'm going to see if I can piece together some kind of lineup here. I don't have much luck with hockey, so I don't really like to spend money on it, but since this is a free one, we'll gladly throw it in and see how it works out. Again, I just got to kind of hope that my internet holds up long enough for me to actually get this lineup in. So we'll see how it works. I am, let's see. I'm going to go with my first choice in goal is going to be Mackenzie Blackwood. Is he playing tonight? Yeah, it does look like he's the projected starter for the Devils. So I'm going to go with him. That means, of course, no Oilers in my lineup tonight. So I got to make sure I stay away from them. And we'll see how that works out for me. Let's see what kind of skaters we can put together here for some decent prices here. I don't normally use him, but let's go ahead and start out with Patrick Kane tonight. You know, the Blackhawks are back at home. They've only played one game this season, so he should be pretty rested. So we'll throw Kaner in. He's big $8,400, so it's going to cost me. So I'm going to have to search around now and try to find some value guys. And we're going to go with another winger here. We'll plug in Tyler Ennis as long as he's healthy here. Oh, yeah, he's actually a projected first-line starter. Only $3,200 for a first-line starter. That's not too bad. And then we'll follow that up with another hopefully decent play here. If I can spell his name right, that's probably why I got it wrong, because I spelled it L-E and it's L-A. Can we find, here you go, Kevin LeBlanc, the third liner. He's $4,600, so I got some good value there. Let's see if I can. You got one more value guy. Yeah, let's jump on a value defenseman, and we'll throw Matthew Dumba in my lineup. $5,000, that's pretty good value for a defenseman. We'll see how that works out for me. Now let's see if I can find some quality centermen here. Maybe I can probably spend a little on one, and then I'll have to kind of get a real, you know, kind of a middle of the road guy on the other. You know, I know Brandon Point has big projections, but he's a game time decision. And since I won't be back to catch the lineup, I'm going to let him slide. I'm going to plug Tyler Seguin in. I always like Seguin. He's a good dude. So we'll plug him in for $7,900. And then let's see if I can find another kind of solid guy. Let's go back to the Sharks again, and we'll go with Thomas Hertl, who he's one of those guys I've always had solid luck with. $6,300, not too bad a value there for Hertl tonight. All right, I need to close out with another winger and then a defenseman. So let's see who or what I can find here to wrap up my lineup. You know, maybe if I spend big on a winger, I can find another cheap defenseman. Let's see what we got here. Let's plug in David Pastrnak from the Bruins. I know it's going to be a little pricey, $7,900, but I do have a pretty decent stash of cash left. So let's see if this helps me out here. And then I'll be looking for a defenseman. $4,600, that's not bad. I can get a solid defenseman for $4,600 or, you know, in that area. So let's see who pops up and what I got here. All right, it looks like I can get Cale Makar, who's played pretty well for Colorado. But I think I'm going to go with Michael Sergachev of Tampa Bay tonight. $4,500. So there you go. We'll round out my lineup here. I will give you a quick recap. I have Tyler Seguin and Thomas Hertl at center. My wingers are Patrick Kane, Tyler Ennis, Kevin LeBlanc, and David Pastrnak. My defensemen are Matt Dumba, or maybe it's Dumba, and Mikhail Sergachev. And then my goalie tonight is Mackenzie Blackwood. So there you go. That's where I'm going with. Sadly, I've been playing these free rolls for a while in hockey since the season kind of started. I did miss one last week, just one of those things. And for some reason, I seem to keep scoring right around 100 points. I can't quite break the barrier there and get that like upper echelon game that I need to really kind of to break out and win anything. So hopefully, you know, maybe tonight will be the night and I can, get a bit of a roll on there, and we'll see how that works out for me. But there you go. I mean, again, maybe the best theory is that you ignore what I do and pick players that I don't have. So we'll see how that one works out for me, but. Again, I have not had a ton of luck, and it may be the fact that with everything going on, I really haven't had a chance to sit down and watch a lot of hockey. Like I caught a couple minutes last night. They had the Flyers and the Devils on, and I caught a couple of it. Just a few minutes here or there, and I don't think I went back after the second period. So, how it goes, but we'll see how that lineup goes. And, hopefully we got a winner. I don't know what, you know, what else to tell you. We'll see how that falls out. And yeah, wish me luck. So if you're out there, you know, definitely hope he can, you know, we can pick up something. So lead me on and we can go from there. But all right, we will, you know, let's, you know, I was kind of hoping I could get Dan here for the start of the baseball talk, and we'll roll out. There we go. Hey, look at that. I said his name and he appeared. It's kind of like Beetlejuice. So, you know, I said your name three times and you showed up. Look at that.
What, you did say it three times?
Well, actually, I only said it once, but we'll say I said it three times.
All right. Don't give it to me.
You know, since you're here, I was just going to kind of roll into baseball. And before we get into the playoffs, I wanted to ask you about this Gabe Kapler firing. You know, the Phillies wait a little bit to pull the trigger. I've already heard right now that the two guys they're trying to decide between are Buck Showalter and Joe Girardi. So it looks like Girardi's going to get a ton of job offers. Are you in on this firing, out on this firing? How you feeling about this after just two seasons with the Phillies?
I don't know. I mean, they spent stupid money on a guy who's not really any better than Mike Trout.
Yeah, you know, it also looks here like they're going to get rid of their pitching coach, who's Chris Young. So, you know, they do say that Charlie Manuel will return to his role as senior advisor to the GM. Remember, he came down and took over as the hitting instructor. I did see that Kapler, I think he was a couple games under 500 for 2 years here, but they don't have his overall record here. I don't know. I mean, I know how this kind of works out. You know, I mean, you blame the manager, but are we really tagging Gabe Kapler for the fact that his team underperformed?
No, I mean, you're kind of dealing with the underperformed pitcher, Jake Arrieta, but I don't think that was his issue as much as it was his injury.
Yeah, here he was 80 and 82 last year, and then they were 81 and 81 this year. So, not a ton of promise there. However, you want to kind of look at it. I mean, they were just kind of scuffling around, but you know, and I'm trying to figure out if they're gonna like say that they gave him the pieces to win, because I'm not sure if they did. Are you?
No, I mean, well, I was going to throw something up at you, but I don't think he was really positioned to win. But was he Rick Renteria?
Yeah, you know, you have to wonder, and here I'm looking at some of these numbers. I didn't even realize this. Reese Hoskins, while he did hit 29 home runs, hit a whopping 226 for the team. You know, Mikel Franco had struggles all year, ended up at 234. You know, the outfield, which was McCutcheon to start, who was only hitting 256 when he got hurt. Scott Kingery filled in quite a bit. He hit 258. And then Bryce Harper did manage to get to 260 with those 35 home runs. You know, I mean, again, we're looking. Jay Ruth came over, hit a whopping 221 and was injured quite a bit. Odubel Herrera hit 222 but was suspended for the majority of the season. You know, Corey Dickerson did well until he got hurt. Brad Miller was an interesting surprise. You know, Adam Halsley was solid for a rookie, but, you know, just 266. You know, I mean, there's nobody that steps out on offense and you go, oh, my God, look at those numbers. You know, this team should be running away with the division. And, you can say the same thing about the pitching here, Dan. Here you go. They list six starters. Here are their ERAs. 3.87, which is acceptable. It should be lower in the National League, but with the juice ball, okay, you can understand it's a little higher. 4.13, 4.64, 4.91, 4.45, and 5.37. Yeah, you want to know why they didn't win any games? Let's start looking at starting pitching. So,
I mean, that's why you got to wonder if he's just a placeholder.
You know, and I know everybody's counting on Aaron Nola to take a big step forward. We'll have to see how that goes. Jake Arrieta did pitch injured, so we'll see if he can come back healthy. But, yeah, I mean, other than that, I mean, you know, a couple guys they used for multiple starts, Drew Smyly and Jason Vargas. You know, at this point, are those two guys you're really looking to have in your rotation on a regular basis?
Well, it would happen to Vince.
So, yeah, you know, Vince was in there. Vince made 23 starts. He did pitch in 33 games. He spent some time in the bullpen. You know, he wasn't very good. He had a 4.91 ERA. You know, I mean, you just kind of look down. And, you know, the bullpen had some solid pieces. Even with David Robertson being hurt for most of the year, you know, Hector Neris pitched, you know, posted really good numbers. And, you know, Jose Alvarez was very useful. They got a lot more out of Ranger Suarez than I think anybody thought they would. And he's only 23, so maybe he developed. But, yeah, you know, you just kind of – you know, I get it. You know, you can't fire the players, so the manager goes. But, yeah, I don't know, you know, how they're going to kind of look at it and say, oh, yeah, this was the problem. I'm frightened here because I know David Robertson pitched for the Phillies, but I can't find his numbers. There he is, finally. Yeah, he, you know, they signed him to a big contract. They got seven games out of him. So, you know, maybe they'll have better luck with him next year. But, yeah, I don't know. We'll see how that goes and how it plays out. But let's get on to the last night. Well, let's start with yesterday's action first. You know, as we know, the Cardinals just mopped the floor with the Braves yesterday. And, you know, Dan, I'm a little surprised by this, but there are actually people complaining that the Cardinals didn't take Jack Flaherty out after one inning to allow him to start game one of the NLCS when they had the 10-0 lead. You got to give me your take on that because I think it's just completely asinine that people think that would have been a good idea.
I mean, who else would they have put in? They were just on bullpen?
Well, it would have become a bullpen game. They would have had to piecemeal, you know, nine innings with their bullpen.
Well, it's starting on Friday.
I believe Adam Wainwright gets the start. And if you remember, he pitched almost eight shutout innings in his last start. So, no, the only issue was the fact that they thought with such a big lead, they should have gotten him out of there so they could use him in game one. That, you know, that was it. There was nothing else to it. Just the fact that the lead was so big, they didn't need him, and they could have went another route. So yeah, I
didn't take him off his natural rotation. I mean,
oh, hang on, you faded out on me there. I couldn't hear what you said.
I said you were taking him out.
you know, and I mean, obviously the ridiculous part here is, Daniel, these would be the same people who, if the Cardinals would have made that move and then somehow the Braves would have made a miraculous comeback and won, would have been the same people going, God, why was St. Louis so stupid? And they took Flaherty out. You know, they should have just left him in and, you know, let him continue to pitch even though he had such a big lead. So, you know, it's just kind of these jackasses trying to play both sides of the coin. But, yeah, it's like I heard that this morning, and I was like, what are you idiots talking about? So, yeah, I don't understand quite the asinine thinking there. But apparently they thought it was a fantastic idea, and that's what St. Louis should have done. Oh, did we lose Dan? Oh, no, he's still there. Dan, what happened? I can't hear you. So, you know, we shall see. And then the other thing, Dan, that I really need to have you answer for, and I'm not sure if you can, but you're the only one I know who might be able to. What the hell? And I don't want you to cop out by saying the analytics said so, but after the incredibly embarrassing numbers Joe Kelly had put up against the Nationals in this series, what in the hell was he doing out there to start the ninth inning or the tenth inning?
They managed to lose the game.
Yeah, you have to wonder. You know, I mean, I believe Kenley Jansen had pitched a total of one inning. So you had to think, if need be, he could have given you two. But instead you go to Joe Kelly, who gives up the grand slam to Howie Kendrick. And now the Dodgers go home after winning 106 regular season games. I don't know, Dan. Is this, you know, and I know – you know, I know in probably any other team, this would be a fireable offense for a manager, but you and I damn well know this wasn't Dave Roberts' call, and this was what they had analytically lined up, right?
Yeah, that's what's ridiculous about the whole situation.
You know, because, I mean, you know, obviously Roberts is going to be the fall guy. But you damn well know that there was somebody pulling the strings with that little card saying, yeah, this is where Joe Kelly fits in, even though he sucked. You know, for the series, Dan, against Washington, his ERA was 23.14. So, I mean, how embarrassing is it? You know, and I actually, first off, Dan, I want to toot our own horn a little bit here, because if you remember, as things were going out, you and I actually discussed the fact that with the three top starting pitchers the Nationals had, they would be difficult for any team to beat. So if you've been listening to Dan and I at all through the baseball season, you can understand that we saw something like this coming. Even though neither one of us had the guts to pick the Nationals to win the series, you know, you're sitting on that, like the NBA says, the big three. You only need three wins in a five-game series. So, but, yeah, I don't know, Dan. Back to the Dodgers, how big of an embarrassment is this?
this is huge. I mean, it's another wasted opportunity. You know, you follow up two World Series losses with elimination in the division series. Can you get any more embarrassed?
Well, and, you know, and then the other asinine thing I couldn't figure out, you know, Clayton Kershaw came in to finish the seventh inning. And then, you know, no surprise, he went back out to start the eighth and he ran into trouble. You don't know how many guys I heard, Dan, who all of a sudden are magically baseball experts saying that there's no way Kershaw should have went out to start the eighth inning. Dan, do you really believe that if you're bringing Kershaw into the game, unless it's the final out of the game, that the Dodgers were planning on using him for one third of an inning? You know, and I, you know, I mean, sadly, you know, for him, it didn't work out. You know, he went out and ended up giving up back-to-back bombs to Rendon and Soto, you know, before he got yanked that tied the game up. But you damn well know the Dodgers' plan was Buehler, Kershaw, and hope you're moving on. I'm sure they would have let Clayton pitch the final two and a third if he could have gotten the out. It just didn't. For whatever, go that way. You know, Kenta Maeda comes in to bail them out, you know, and then, you know, Kelly worked, what did he work? He worked a really good ninth inning. I don't believe he, yeah, you know, he worked a really, I'm trying to, I want to see if it was a 1-2-3 ninth or how it ended up working out for him. But, yeah, you know, coming back, obviously, for the tenth was a gigantic mistake here. Where are we at? All right, top of the ninth. Yeah, he actually got two strikeouts and a flyout, you know, in the ninth. But for whatever reason, I guess they poorly decided that they needed to stretch him out. You know, then he walked the guy, gave up a double, intentionally walked the guy, and Kendrick hit the bomb to – you know, to left field for the grand slam, and, you know, that's it. It's all over. It's like, oh, great. Well, here comes Kenley Jansen for mop-up duty. That's what I want one of the top closers in the game to be doing, mopping up after my setup guy gives up a big grand salami. I don't get this, Dan. I mean, this was incredibly – just handled incredibly poorly. And, you know, again, I know Dave Roberts is going to take the brunt of this, but I don't know if it's his fault.
I mean, I don't know. You would think bringing Kershaw would kind of shore things up, but did Buehler really need to come out?
Yeah, you know... You know how it is. He was, you know, he did look like he was starting to scuffle a little bit. So I can kind of understand why they made the move. And, you know, I think a lot of it also has to do with the fact that, you know, you're looking at Clayton Kershaw in the bullpen. You know, and I mean, I know he's had his postseason issues, but we're still talking about a guy who, I mean, if he doesn't ever play again, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, right?
Yeah, without a World Series win.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, it's just one of those, you know, really odd situations that for whatever reason, his postseason luck or pitching or however you want to work it out is just terrible. So, you know, we'll have to see. But, yeah, I was... It just, you know, when I looked at the box score, because obviously I wasn't around for the end of the game, when I looked at the box score and I realized that they left Joe Kelly in and were trying to get two innings out of him while Kenley Jansen had hardly pitched in this series, unless there's an injury issue we don't know about, everybody involved should be fired. I mean, you know, at least you got to the World Series the last 2 years. You gave yourself a chance. you no longer have that chance this year. So, guys, I don't get it. You know, just always kind of baffles me. But, you know, we'll see what the Dodgers do next year, you know, if they spend some more money or, you know, maybe they go with some of their younger guys, you know, who knows. But it's, you know, it's bye-bye L.A., so I'm sure Major League Baseball is really hoping that the Yankees figure out a way to get to the World Series now. Otherwise, they're going to be hurting for big markets.
Well, I mean, can you imagine it? That's like the dream. L.A. versus New York.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Dodgers-Yankees or Mets-Dodgers, or hell, they would have taken Angels. You know, as long as they could get California something out there, they're all in. But, yeah, not this year. So, yeah, I was just kind of baffled by the, you know, the managerial theory there, looking at it kind of like, really, this is where we've decided to go and who we're going to use. And, all right, let's see how it goes. And obviously it went well enough to send the Dodgers home. So, and all right, Dan, we got our other big five, our big game five is just underway here. You know, the Rays are in Houston to take on the Astros. Here's the lineups real quick. Tampa Bay has Austin Meadows leading off. Tommy Pham is hitting second. G-Man Choi hits third. We got Travis Donald as the cleanup hitter. Eric Sogard gets a start today, hits fifth. Avisail Garcia hits sixth. Joey Wendell hitting seventh. Kevin Kiermaier hits eighth, and Willie Adames hits ninth. The Astros are going with George Springer leading off, Michael Brantley hitting second, Jose Altuve hits third, Alex Bregman is the cleanup man, Yordan Alvarez is the DH, Yuri Gurriel is playing first base, Carlos Correa is at short, Josh Reddick is in right, and Martin Maldonado wrapping up, doing the catching. It's Garrett Cole on the mound for the Astros. I believe he's got two outs already. Yeah, not only does he have two outs, he's recorded two strikeouts. And the Rays have countered with Tyler Glasnow. So there you go. They're up and running. What do you think, Dan? Tampa Bay gets this win, and then they go all the way to the World Series to face Washington?
No. I don't know. I'm kind of leaning that they get to win tonight. Do they go all beat the Yankees? No, I don't see them beat the Yankees. Just because I think the Yankees go all the way. But no, I mean, you know, kind of bouncing back, you just threw out, you know, the Rays go all the way to the World Series to take on the Nats. Well, that's what I was going to ask you. With the way things have been going, you know, being on a roll, momentum, I know it doesn't really matter, it's not real, but do you kind of feel like they've got that momentum to keep rolling through and knock the Cardinals out to go to the World Series?
Yeah, you know, again, you know, I'll go completely back to where, you know, I kind of started giving you and I some credit. You look at that pitching staff, and, you know, they're going to get the, you know, the day of rest or however it works out. And, you know, I know Corbin pitched in relief, but he didn't pitch that much. You know, you're going to be able to run your guys out there. You know, you're going to get Corbin, you're going to get Scherzer, you're going to get Strasburg. You know, if it plays out, there's absolutely no reason they can't shut St. Louis down and win. You know, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me at all if they did find a way to do that and I want to see if they have the matchups posted yet. I know I said it's Wainwright for the Cardinals, but I don't know if the they changed it. See, I heard Adam Wainwright earlier for the Cardinals. The Mickey Mouse website has Miles Mikolas getting the start, and then interesting enough, they have Anibal Sanchez listed as the game one starter for the Nationals. They have Adam Wainwright listed as going in game two for the Cardinals, with Washington being undecided. If they are going to start Sanchez in game one, I probably have a few more questions then, because I think they're putting themselves in a tough spot to win a game one behind him.
It is a seven-game series, though. I mean, I forget who gets home field advantage. Is it the Cardinals?
Yeah, the Cardinals. Yeah, the Nationals will always be on the road because they're a wild card team.
So, I mean, you know, I know there's a lot of important things in game one, but sometimes that second matchup means just as much.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, they know their pitchers. Maybe, you know, I think Corbin went an inning and a third yesterday. You know, maybe that was too much for him to bounce back. You know, Scherzer already pitched on short rest, so I don't think you want to bring him back in a game one. You know, we'll have to see if this works out for them or – you know, how things go, but yeah, I don't know if this is where, you know, I would have looked for, but hey, you know, like I said, what the hell do I know? You know, and I think he was relatively solid in his last start, and I would love to look it up for you if my internet would just cooperate with me here, but you know, I've been having that kind of day. I don't know why. It's just one of those days. So I apparently can't do that for you. You know, at this point, I have to wonder if we're even still on the air.
No, we're still on the air.
Okay. You know, because I never, of course, know when that is going to happen either. But, yeah, I guess you didn't really get the answer. Could you see Washington winning? Would you be surprised if they beat St. Louis?
No, I honestly, well, I mean, let's be honest. I don't know how you felt going to bed last night. But, you know, Buehler was still in. The Dodgers are still up. I'm like, oh, all right. I'm gonna wake up, and you know, we're gonna be worried about is Rays versus the Astros tonight, and you know, we're gonna see the Cardinals versus the Dodgers, and this weekend. And I wake up. First thing I do is check my MLB app, and I just kind of like my mouth almost hit the ground with shock. Like, are you serious? You know, not only did the Dodgers lose, but they lost in 10 and they got demolished.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, I don't know if you watched the recap or the, you know, the condensed game. I immediately had to put the condensed game on this morning because I was like, what the hell happened? And then you see the two Kershaw home runs and then you see the grand slam. And I'm like, I don't know, but after watching that, and I actually rewound it, or, you know, just scrub back a little bit to that grand slam. And I'm like, man, with the way this went, I feel like they're going to the World Series. I don't know if it's their year, but they're going to the World Series.
Yeah, you know, and again, the first thing that I'm sure a lot of people thought of was the fact that, you know, here you go, Washington finally advances without Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
So,
well, and it's funny,
you know,
that was one of the things, that's what we talked about yesterday. What's it gonna?
Yeah.
What kind of statement is that gonna make if they beat the Dodgers without Bryce Harper?
Yeah, well, you know, and I think you were right yesterday when you were kind of saying it's gonna make teams kind of rethink giving away that big contract. You know, because you're gonna be able to look at a team like the Nationals, or you know, you're gonna give that big contract to a quality pitcher instead of maybe a position player, because that's where they had a lot of their success, was they had the big three, like I mentioned. And obviously Rendon is a great player, and I won't be shocked if he wins NL MVP. You know, Juan Soto is one of the better young players in the game, so they do have, you know, talent. It's not like they don't have any talent. But, yeah, I mean, they gave, you know, they let walk away, or they got outbid, however you want to look at it, for one of the guys that, you know, everybody thinks is one of the best players in baseball. And, you know, here they are now going, you know, they're four wins away from going to a World Series.
Yeah. Well, not only that, I mean, you know, I was going to try to say, oh, you know, everyone's, you know, once the playoff season, the regular season is over, we get in the playoffs, everyone's at zero. So your 35 home runs don't really count for much when you come into the playoffs. Over, you know, but at the same time, I guess, you know, the pitcher starts at zero too. But I feel like you get a better idea of how the performance is going to be. Yeah, most, you know, the pitchers are only about approximately 30 games.
Well, you know, and I mean, guess the interesting comparison here, Dan, and I don't know how you could make this, if they had signed Bryce Harper, they wouldn't have been able to sign Patrick Corbin. How would they have been a wild card team without Corbin in the rotation and Harper in the everyday lineup?
I don't think so. I mean, even last night when he came in, I was like, wow, he is, you know, last night I saw the pitch, I'm like, wow, he's sick, he's killing these Dodger hitters. I mean, you know, you threw out the lineup yesterday, and the one, you know, I was like, I don't know, I guess I was a little Dodger heavy, and they're going to be fine. But who did they put in that lineup who really didn't do a whole lot last year and was starting almost every game in the World Series?
Your guy, Kiki.
Yeah.
That's your guy.
He made some great plays last night, but he also flubbed a big one. You know, knocking Seager over, since you're knocking the ball out of his glove. I don't really know if that, you know, really was a determining factor, but I still feel like, I don't know, you should go with your best foot forward from the guys who've been performing, not because your, what do you call it, your data spreadsheet says this is what should be happening.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, you.
Your algorithm.
You have to have that feel for the game. You know, I mean, you've got to allow a manager to kind of look at his team and just be kind of like, okay, you know, I know this guy's numbers aren't good against so and so, but he's been playing really well, and I think we need him in the lineup tonight. But, you know, when you do everything strictly analytically, you know, like you said, the algorithm says these guys play against these guys and that's it. So, you know, you got to wonder if the Dodgers have sabermetrically or analytically or however you want to look at it, cost themselves World Series titles because of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, You know what I mean? That window isn't going to be open forever. I think as long as Kershaw is on top of his game, Walker Buehler looks like another guy who's just going to be a mainstay in the top of that rotation. Maybe they pay Ryu and that's their big three, or maybe, good old Julio Urias develops and he's the third guy. They should be contenders for a few more years. I think at least until Kershaw decides he's done, but you've got to wonder if they can tweak their philosophy, don't you, a little bit?
Oh, yeah. And it's just, even with Urias, I don't know. I don't feel like they did anything with their pitching rotation that could have really helped in the offseason or even all-star break, trade deadline time.
Yeah, well, I know they tried. They were in the market for Corbin, but, he ended up going to Washington. And,
yeah.
I think their main concern was the bullpen. They signed Joe Kelly, after he was so good against them for the Red Sox. So, I think they thought that was going to be a really big help. But, as we've seen through the years, bullpens, they're a little finicky. A guy can be great one year, and then the next year he can't get anybody out. And, not that Kelly was that bad during the season, but obviously against the Nationals, he was terrible. You just kind of wonder, you kind of start to wonder what their off season looks like. Obviously it didn't help them that Bellinger has been in a slump for probably the last 2 months. I don't know what happened to him.
Yeah.
He just really struggled. So maybe the fact with Yelich going out, he needed the competition and just didn't have it. He could look what Christian Yelich did every night and go, oh yeah, okay, I got to do this. But, it just didn't kind of go that way. And we'll see if, what they add or who they add or how they add. But, again, we're looking at a team with a lot of really good young talent. You just got to wonder if they're going to trust them, with this goofy analytic system they use to be in the lineup every day and get the at-bats they're going to need. Because, the one thing we know, Dan, from watching young players is they're going to have struggles.
Yeah.
Do you think they'll stick with them? A guy like a Gavin Lux or a Will Smith, guy like that, who looks like they should have everyday jobs next year?
Well, Steven, we have 2 minutes left, so what's your take on tonight? I'm going with the Rays. I'm just rolling the dice. I put on their hat this morning. I'm going with the Rays.
I did pick the Astros to win it all, so obviously, my hat is in that ring. I'm riding Garrett Cole like the horse that I thought he was going to be when he was a Pirate. That just never worked out. So hopefully he will get me on to the next round, and we will see what happens from there. But yeah, I gotta stick with my pick. I can't get off the choice now, can I?
No, not really.
So, we'll see how it goes. Nice, I get to sit down and watch, quite a bit of this game now that we're done here. So,
Sports Time Radio.